Jane and the Spark Blue. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the fiery line. If you win, my brother, surely you must find. Oh, keep on the fiery line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the fiery line. Well, you must fight. It's all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the righteous, keep on the fiery line. God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the fiery line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Oh, keep on the fiery line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great to be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the fiery line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never, never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the righteous, keep on the fiery line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the fiery line. I will praise the Savior for the call we had. Oh, keep on the fiery line. See the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the path of sin. With a shout of welcome, we will all march in. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the righteous, keep on. Sing it again as Brother Terrence comes. Well, you must fight, be brave. If you would win for God in the righteous, keep on the fighting line.
Amen.
Good afternoon.
That's right. The only request we had from this morning was Sister Rebecca Atkins said she's having to put her dog Max down to be going home to see Brother Gary today. So remember that. Prayer request. Says Brother Don Hoffman and another brother are in Uganda and unable to return home because of the flight restrictions. Please pray for their safe return home. So remember that.
Amen.
I think Brother Rhino and them are on their way. I think they're running a little bit behind. They're running a little bit behind, but obviously they're wherever they was going today. They didn't have church, or they're on the way back or something. That's what Brother Joe said. Just remember them as they travel. Sister Kathy gave me one, says, please pray for Brother Dick. He's back in the hospital. If nobody don't know that, they put him in today. Remember him. Remember Brother Donnie, as we've been praying, and Brother Ron, and Brother Homer's having some tests run, Brother Ray said, so remember him. Kathy also gave me one, says, please pray for her mom. She's sick also, so remember that. Brother Mark said, I need prayer for hay fever. So remember Brother Mark. And Brother Boyd says, remember the family of Jeff Stewart as he lost his sister, Gina Winkles, sorry. So just remember that family, a loss of a loved one there. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, we have made many requests, Lord, that people need a touch from you, Lord. You just come down and whatever the needs are, what they need, Lord, you know what it is. And just come down and bless them. Bless all of our unspoken requests too, Lord. The ones that are traveling, remember, Brother Rhino and them are traveling, and other people are traveling. Be with them and bless them. Be with Wade this afternoon. Give him strength also, Lord. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for you. Many, many blessings you give us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes. We want to just, you know what the Lord told us to do? It's to rest. Little bride, rest. For all is well. So let's sing, I just want to thank you, Lord, this afternoon. Just got a lot to thank him for. Amen.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life, and Lord, I thank thee. Well, you didn't have to open my eyes. You could have easily have passed me by. For the age I was living in, oh, it's wretched, poor, and blind. And I heard recognizing your day, serpent seed and perfect faith, the breach and the message of grace. And Lord, I thank thee. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life, and Lord, I thank thee. Well, not even in my wildest dreams did I think I would see such things as the coming of the Lord, the rapture mysteries. I have heard, but now I see God in simplicity. The spoken word is the original seed, and Lord, I thank thee. Just sing it out to him now. And I just want to thank you, Lord, hear your word. What have I done to deserve to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face blessed with eternal life. And Lord, I thank Thee.
Aren't you thankful for that? You know what, saints? All that should trump any fear that Satan would try to bring upon you. His word is greater. And the fact that His word has been revealed to you, nothing that we have to fear. Amen. We have a couple of specials this afternoon. So I'm going to ask the Marunga family if they would come and sing for us.
Resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise,
we'll have a changed body.
Praise the Lord, we'll have a new life. With the saints anew shall gather over on the other side.
We'll have a changed body.
Praise the Lord, we'll have a new life. By and by, when the morning comes,
Thank you, Sarah. Praise God. Did a wonderful job. They said she was sick or something. She did a good job. That's good. Praise God. Abby, I think you're going to sing. Are you singing? Are you singing? Yeah. Are the girls singing? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I mean.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's a bride rising up. There's a bride rising up. There's a bride rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Praise God. Thank you, girls. Did a wonderful job. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just take up our offering. Brother Mark, you want to help us take up our offering? Sing that song, Victory Is Mine, as brother Mark passes down.
Oh, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. For I told Satan to just get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. For told Satan to just get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Let's sing it like this. Oh, when I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, help me please. Then I got up singing, shouting victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. For I told that devil to just get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Love is mine. Love is mine. Yes, love is mine. Love today is mine. For I told Satan to just get thee behind. Because of love today it is mine. The Holy Ghost 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 today is mine. For I told that devil to just get thee behind. Because the Holy Ghost today. Let's stand to our feet now. Oh, when I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, help me please. Then I got up singing, shouting victory. Say this, healing is mine. Healing is mine. Oh, healing is mine. Healing dead is mine. For I told that Satan to just get thee behind. Because the healing of the Lord is mine. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. For it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. That demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. For it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. Coronavirus has to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus. We have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Amen. Give him a hand clap for praise. Boy, sometimes you just can't stay in that room. Sometimes you just cannot stay in that room. You have to get out here while the getting's good. Granny always said, get it while the getting's good. So God bless you. Good to see each and every one of you. Good playing, good singing. Got some good musicians. It always sounds better when they know what they're playing for. Is that right? Amen. Before we sit down, I'm going to read this again that Martin Luther said, just in case you didn't get it this morning, I'm going to read it to you a second time. All right, you ready? Martin Luther, dealing with the plague that was in that time of I think it was probably the 17th century or somewhere, it killed millions of people. And here Martin Luther's right in the middle of it. And I would say, being a man of God, he's seeking wisdom of God. And I'm sure he didn't just say this to the wall. I'm sure he said this to his congregation and the people that were listening. He said, "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me. And I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely." So Martin Luther was cautious, but he wasn't scared at all. "But I will go freely, as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God." Thank you. You got that up there. That's Luther's Works, Volume 43, page 132, written by Reverend Dr. John Hess. That was one of his disciples right after he was either went off the scene or was still on the scene. But that's something we need to live by. You know, faith is not foolish either. Faith is not foolish. We don't tempt God. We don't walk out here in the middle of the road and say, "Look, you know, God's, you're going to stop that 40 ton. Well, no, he just might let your stupidity kill you. But like Martin Luther said, he transferred that. He said, "Well, if God wants to take me, but I don't want to do anything to make it any worse, you know, to forward that and make it do any quicker." But he was living under the promises of God just like we are. And he was living under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what makes a Holy Ghost person say, during a time like this, instead of being scared and our teeth rattling and all these different things. So we hold to the truth that God's going to take care of us. We believe in his promises. We believe in his benefits. And we believe that he's here and he's real. Amen. And he'll put nothing on us that we can't stand. He done promised that. He can put us no more on us than we... He will put no more on us than we can stand. So if you got your Bibles, you turn back to Galatians and we'll try to get to sanctification. I believe it was fruitful that we spoke this morning a little bit more on justification, because that's your foundation. That gets you going. That's your start. That's your beginning. That's where God is going to meet you and become close with you, even though you're still a dirty rascal. You know, like Brother Brown said, you know, God picks the bottle up out of the mud and it's still got mud all over it, but yet he's got a purpose for it. He did pick it up, so he is going to have a purpose for it. So got an update on Brother Donnie Reagan. I didn't read it. I've got it laying in yonder, but he's okay. They're still running some tests on him. His heart's fine from what they know so far. So let's just keep him in prayer there. Him, Brother Ron, Brother Dale, and all the different ones. Brother Homer, I hear he's got to have some tests run. Devil's trying his best. He's trying his best, but he can't. He might win a battle, but he ain't winning a war. He can't win the war. We already read the battle plan. We know who the generals are. We know who the winners are, and we know who the losers are. So, and if it's a never changing word of God, can't fail. Can't fail. And the battle plan is not going to change either. This is still it. This is the way we get to it. Through justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, there'll be battle, 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 battle. But the war has already won. Amen. So also remember, next Sunday we'll be at Brother Claude's. April the 18th, the Spring Fling. April the 19th, one service. Brother Dale's birthday dinner will be that Sunday, and it will be catered by the church. June 18th to the 20th, remember the Father's Day fishing trip. The sisters are going somewhere too. Jim reminded me just a minute ago, Brother, you remember Brother Murphy, the Chinese brother that did the work at Brother Biscoe's? He's up there now. But he reported back that 6 believers in China have been arrested for distributing Bibles in that country. 3 of them have been released, and 3 of them are still in jail. So we're going to pray that God's going to, he's going to take a Paul and Silas, and he's going to, we pray, they pray, and the doors of that prison is going to open, and they're going to walk out. So you say, well, they're halfway around the world, Nick. Yeah, so what? I hope your God's close to you.
Right.
And can get to you in the time of trouble. You can. Amen? He's nigh thee. He's over there with them now, and I believe he'll bring them out. Amen? There's not a government can stand against the Word of God. Not one. Not one thing can stand against the Word of God. So we just believe that. So let's bow our heads and get started. Lord, thank you today that you've given us a time of worship, that we've come together, Lord, to hear a little bit more about you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us during this service. Be the active participant, Lord. Be the one that does the speaking and the revealing. If there be any one that needs healing today, Lord, we pray that you touch them now in their body and in their spirit, Lord. We pray that you'd touch Brother Donnie, Brother, all the different ones, Brother Homer, Dad, Brother Ron, Lord. Seems like Satan is trying to attack the fivefold ministry, Lord, but you said it would happen. It's going to come. But, Lord, we've already won. So we pray that you'd just help us through this battle, Lord, that we're going through, and that we'll see a victory on the other side. Father, just give us our daily bread. Be with the foreign missionary field, Lord, and touch them, Lord. We know that things are being closed down and shut down because of this little virus. And I pray, Lord, though it doesn't matter what the world's condition is, I pray that you would take care of that virus, Lord, because people are dying. It is humanity that we're talking about, Lord. It's our true brothers and sisters, Lord. Doesn't matter if they're Christian or not, Lord. We're all made, you said, of one blood. So we pray that you would just take that thing and turn it down, Lord, and get rid of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, the whole bride around the world, please, Lord, the blood on the whole place. The whole United States of America and all the different countries, Lord, we plead, Lord, that you would touch each one, Father, and that you'll cover them, Lord, and that the thing will be done away with, Lord, this little thing that's bothering. Lord, we have things that bother us all the time, and we don't need another thing to bother us, Lord. We pray that you would just bless us now. Put us in Goshen for a little while, that we'll hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, that's where Israel was. It didn't matter about the plagues. Everything was dying and going on. There was frogs, fleas, flies, and all kind of stuff going on. And here sat, could you imagine being an Egyptian and looking over into the country of Goshen and you go, I think I want to be with them people over there. There's plagues over here. Wow. Because God told them. God told them where to go. Put them in the land of Goshen, even in during Joseph's time. When Joseph came about, he put them in Goshen. So that was the promise or the time of them to use while the plagues were going on. So pray that God put us all in Goshen as this plague continues on the face of the earth. So Galatians 3:16 says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds of the many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So there's only one seed we're dealing with. It's not natural genealogy. It's spiritual genealogy. Amen. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, bringing the law in, bringing all anything you brought in is not going to disannul the covenant that God made with himself. Because he didn't make it with another. Hebrews 6, verse 13. Let's go to that. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. We're going to read it in just a minute. He says, I will, I will, I will. Saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You may be seated in the Lord and his blessing to the reading of the word. Brother Branham said, who is this Melchizedek? I'm going to read it this afternoon. When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do. Now who's an attribute? All born-again believers are attributes of God. Amen? All right, so all attributes will do in the final end. He unfolds. In other words, what's he saying? He unfolds in the walk or life of Abraham what all of us are going to go through at the final end. So today we look, every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. Now, I want you to watch here what we have to come. In other words, he's preaching the message of who is this Melchizedek. And we know that that wasn't many people. I'm reading a few commentaries. They argue that it's a priesthood. They argue that it's a this. But the Bible clearly says the man. The man. Melchizedek didn't have father or mother. He didn't have beginning of days and end of life. Brother Branham said Christ is the only person it could be. Amen. So we're looking at now that in our journey with Abram, God didn't appear in that form to him. As we look in the Bible, we see in Genesis 12 and all the different verses, he says, Lord, Lord, and the Lord said, and the Lord appeared. Now, if you look in the different margins in your Bible, especially if you got a Scofield Bible, it says theophany. So God met Abram in different forms, but he didn't never met him in human flesh. Until he come to Melchizedek, where we were just reading that in the scripture this morning, where he met him in justification. And like I said before, you know, you and I meet God in human flesh, according to the prophet of God, us living under an open book. Now, knowing where Melchizedek is and what he's doing, he's inside of all of us. He's inside of all of us. Amen. So who is this Melchizedek? Well, it's the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham revealed him and showed him that it was Christ. But where is Christ now? The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And where does the priesthood come from? Where is all judgment going to come from? All judgment is not going to be by Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, well, all will be judged. He's going to be judged by you. You're the one, the Bible said, the saints will judge the earth. By what? By the Christ that's inside of you. And you and I can judge because of what Christ has already done. To me, that's the great justification. See, that's justification that goes on up higher in the pyramid. That not we know, and we can go through many, many stages where Brother Brown talks about justification. And then he gets to the point where we come to the highest form of justification that the real you didn't do it to begin with. But now we got to stay at baby form justification because the real you did do it. We can't blame it on the devil. We can blame him for one thing, and that's that he anointed us to do it, but we went ahead and did it anyway. Just like we were telling the young adults about last weekend, you know, it's... You talk about predestination. Well, predestination is really easy. It's, you know, God predetermines your journey, but he predetermines by your choice. He knows that you and I, Adam and Eve, if they were put on free moral agency, all of us are still put on free moral agency. We can press play when we want to. We can stop what we're doing when we want to. Now, we can be influenced by these different things, and under justification, you watch Abram coming from an idol worshiping daddy, and he comes and he walks. He gets into Canaan and he likes it pretty good, but then he has a little bit of a trouble, and then he has to move out. He has to get, there's a famine in the land, so he has to move into Egypt. Well, he moves into Egypt and then he starts having problems. Well, that's the same way you and I in our justification journey of justification. Listen, you're going to have problems right up to the day your body's changed, but you should not let the problems that you had before determine what you're going to do. This is just simple. It's for the young. I'm telling you, it's for everybody. But we all need this. And I hope and pray that somebody today or wherever you are would understand one thing. If you haven't went through this journey, don't fool yourself. You're not born again. You say, oh, I've been. Listen. Justification, true justification, when God justifies you, the list is gone. Amen. Your slate is wiped clean. Amen. You have no more problems. Yeah, well, you got problems in your brain, but you have no more problems. You don't have to ask forgiveness for what you did 20 years ago if you've truly been justified. Amen. See, now, buddy, we can't do that.
That's right.
And Satan can't do that. He remembers it because he was there. We were in partners with him. Right? But now God has wiped that from his memory, and all I want it to do is be wiped from his memory. Not mine. I can handle my human memory because it's there. And it seems like the things we forget, we shouldn't forget, and the things we don't forget, we should forget. So, everybody got that? Yeah. Me too. Every day. So justification, though, is God forgot it, and he's never going to bring that back up.
Right.
So be, and I'm satisfied in, I was thinking the other night we were discussing something here, and I went home, and I was like, Lord, I used to be, you know, X, Y, Z, and you do the same thing. Have you ever sit around and say, Lord, I used to?
Yes.
Well, who are you having a conversation with? Regina, who are you having a conversation with? You're not having a conversation with God because he's like surprised it ever happened. What do you mean? But see, even in that, when you speak it, it never goes into his memory and it never goes into your slate. Even at justification, your slate's clean from there back. But now Brother Brown said, though, the root of evil is still there. We're talking about this morning. And as you continue to walk, it adds back up again. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because you'll go right back into doing the things that you did before, even truly justified, but you won't do that for a long period of time. Now, don't tell me God justified you 20 years ago and you smoked, drank, cussed, had 4 wives, 3 husbands, and blah, 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 and said, well, I'm still justified. Well, you were 20 years ago. But your inventory has caught up with you. Everybody got that? So that's why we need to do like Abram. Abram kept walking, and he stepped into sanctification, which cleaned him up and got him ready to be put in service. He had to make a next step. You and I, we're in a journey, and a journey is always 1 foot in front of the other. Amen? A journey is one. If you ever stop, remember, God doesn't stop. So if you stop, guess where you're at? You're way behind. All right? So God's going to start here. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 15. Let me just run through justification just for a minute to catch them up. But remember, this covenant is unconditional. If you're connected to this covenant, you can't lose. Because God said, I will. And don't go to it now. I'm just going to read it because we're going to come right back to it in just a minute. Listen, God never has a hard way of doing things. Even when he came here on earth in human flesh, he said he spake like a common man. He sent us a 7th grade education prophet, not some highly skilled psychologist that had 42 years of degrees. No, he sent us an ain't and a taint and a haint preacher that we can all understand. Everybody can understand what he said. All right, so God's not, you know who's confusing? The devil. All right. So in Genesis chapter 12, when God starts this journey, or Abram starts this journey with God, he says, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So it was always God in this covenant. He's going to do it. Now, you don't hear that much anymore, but when we get over here a little bit further, we see when we get into the new birth, if we get into it this afternoon, if not, we'll get into it later. In Genesis 17, he starts right back in verse 6. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And I will establish thee. So you see, it's God doing the work the whole time.
Right.
It's God doing the work all the time. And you have got to respond to that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? Our response to that is what happened.
Yes.
Ryan, how'd y'all get here so quick? Don't stand back there like sinners. Get in the building. He peeking through the window. Yeah, this is the place you're supposed to be. You looking for a church, brother? Good to have you back.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you that God give you a say. I don't think y'all can all fit on there. Lord, mercy. Mercy. It's gracious. Good to have him back. That's good. Y'all fly down here. Yeah, y'all fly down here. You know you make second service? Yeah, let's shake it ahead. Yeah. Cheeseburger through the drive-thru and come on down, right? Okay. They were in a journey. But we see Abram. Abram is one thing to me. Is Abram, listen, his whole journey was full of circumstances, but he never stopped and said, well, because of that, I'm just going to quit. Because of this, I'm just going to quit. I'm 75 years old, fixing to be 86 and have a kid with Hagar. And he never said, well, I've done all I can do. He said, okay, Lord, here we go. Because God told him, you know, that he was going to be a father of many nations. And then we're going to read it in just a minute where God says, Abram, quit looking at your age. Quit looking at the numbers. God don't work in numbers. He can do more with one person than the devil can do with 75 billion people. God can do more with one person. And he took this one person called Abram that was coming out of a house of idol worship and coming into a place to where now every Christian that is a Christian has to walk in that same journey. What an important man. And I hope he can say that about all of us. That our journey connects with that journey of Abram to Abraham. Because that's what if Abram would have never got to Abraham, we wouldn't be using his name. Because Abraham is the father of many nations. Abram was just high father. That was no promise in that name. There was no promise in Sarai's name. Her name had to be changed to Sarah. Your name had to be changed to Christian for your journey to be worth anything. Amen? Is that all right? So justification in Romans 3, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, I got to slow down, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. Never declare yours.
That's right.
Declare his righteousness. Amen. And if I live under his righteousness, then everything's going to be okay. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, Paul says, Romans 3, verse 26, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. No one can justify your past except God. No one. Because your past is not worth justifying. That's why he has to clear it off. But remember, like I said before, if you don't continue on to that next walk, then you're just piling your sin back on top of itself. It's new thing. It's the new sin that's coming now. Okay? Because I believe truly God forgives people. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It didn't say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be born again. You say, oh, there's a difference. There's a definite difference in being saved and born again. Brother Brown tells us that. There's a difference in that. You can be saved one day. It's where people get it all mixed up. You can be saved one day and not the next. You can get an act of justification because if you truly say, God, forgive me of what I'm doing, forgive me of my sin, he's just to forgive that person. But that person hasn't been taught enough to go on to sanctification where they stand. That's why, you know, the Baptist once saved, always saved. You go to a funeral to a guy that hadn't darkened the doors in the Baptist church for 30 years, but that letter sitting in the file that 30 years ago, right, that he came up and made a decision. He comes up and makes a decision, shakes the hand with the preacher, turns around, they get you a letter of recommendation out, and then that saves you once saved, always saved. Now, see, that's a lie if it's done that way. You heard what I said? Because once saved, always saved, that's where justification to sanctification to baptism of the Holy Ghost to glorification. So if you're once truly saved, right, you'll go on to be sanctified and you'll go on to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so now we as message believers just don't believe in being saved. Saved is part of the journey. Now if that person comes and does and truly confesses their sin and God knows that's as far as they're going to go and they die tomorrow, they will be given eternal life, but they're not bride. They don't come under the blessings and benefits of being a child of God.
Yeah.
They come under the Lot benefit.
Amen.
Amen? You got that?
Yeah.
They come under the Lot benefit, where Lot gets eternal life. Because the Bible says it vexes his righteous soul. He just didn't, what was it? He didn't have enough word to get him out of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
He didn't respond enough to God to get him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he's going to be saved, and that's okay. But I want to be called a son and daughter of God. Because if I'm called a son and daughter of God, it's not what I do. I don't ever stand in judgment, because that's the whole thing. I'm telling you, that's why the Lord, I believe the Lord really, if he'll reveal it to you, one of the greatest revelations in this message is that you never have to stand judgment. Never! It don't scare me anymore. That's why Brother Brown said, it don't scare me anymore. Why? Because you've been born again. God's not just eradicated the old you. He don't even remember the old you. The old you is gone. But now remember, in justification, though, the real you's still here. Or the person that did it made you do that, that root of evil. He's going to make your heart more pliable, though, so he can begin to deal with it, because he begins to deal with Abram. But when we get to this next journey of sanctification, we see that steps up into a little bit higher level. We see there's more of an intimacy between Abram and God. There should be more of an intimacy between you. Because remember, you can't clean yourself up. But if the Bible says the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places, now how's that unclean spirit get out? He doesn't leave of his own accord. And at that point, you're not wishing that it's gone. Hello? You still like that old devil? But under the power of the Word of God and doing what God says, and the benefit of that is that Satan don't like where he's at anymore. So he gets out. He gets out. He can't stand to be around a good Christian. And when you start bringing yourself into this environment and reading your Bible and studying and being earnest, talking to brothers and sisters, forgetting the things that are past, read the Bible about what he's already said about you, all the benefits. Satan hates that. I like what brother, what was his name? The brother that was here, that was at Brother Richard Wilson's church, the older man. Anyway, he would read the Bible and he'd have a headache or something. And he'd say, okay, devil, we're fixing to read the Bible. If you want to read it through my eyes, go ahead. But I'm fixing to read where God says, by his stripes, I'm healed. Brother Schrader, thank you, my brother Schrader. Old Brother Schrader, he said, now, devil, if you're going to play, if you're going to look through these eyes right here, then we're going to read the Bible. Because the devil is not going to ever tell you to read the Bible. He hates that thing. He hates that book. So get that thing out. Now don't do like my Aunt Nervy. She always made her boys ride with a Bible in their car. Well, when they had a wreck, the Bible just got tore up. I mean, I don't think it helped much at all by having it right here. But if you'll take it out and read it and let it become a part of you, yeah, that's the difference. So that's Abram moving higher toward Abraham in this journey of sanctification. Let's read Ezekiel 11, verse 17. This is kind of where we ended. I think we'll stay in sanctification today, and then we'll just move to the Holy Ghost next time we preach. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Now he's talking about a natural people. Right. And also when we get and read Ezekiel a little bit later on, Ezekiel 36, remember the story of the dry bones. You have bones and they're not together. They're just laying out in the field. Then the dry bones begin to come together. And then there has to be a breath to make them living. And see, that's why you're dead until you're alive in Christ. You're just a dead bunch of bones walking around is all you really are. Brother Brown said cannon fodder. Listen, we really have no worth as a human being unless you're born again. What worth do you have? Oh, you can be Bill Gates, and you can be Donald Trump, or you can be any famous person. But there's nobody more famous than the Bride of Jesus Christ. Nobody. Nobody. There's nobody walked the face of this earth more famous than you guys are. Nobody. I mean, you're talking about the Hall of Fame. This one goes for an eternity. All these other ones are going to be dust, and they're going to be done away with and literally be ashes. But you and I will not. There's an eternal quality that man cannot give you. Notoriety and fame on this earth is okay. Everybody likes to have their back padded and all that stuff, but I'd rather be a child of God than any of that. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things. See, that's what you're doing. Everything that you're doing in justification is a detestable thing. Don't tell me you did anything while you were out in the world that was nice and good and sweet. And, oh, yeah. No. Like I said before, even you take that all that list I showed you. When you're born again, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to go around lying to your wife, and you don't have to lie to your husband. You don't have to lie to your kids. You know, people lie to their kids all the time now. Why? They have to make up stories and things. You know, I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about people out in the world. Right. So you just, it's just a snowball of sin, and you just can't get out of that rat race that Satan's got you in, and the sin just keeps piling up until you move over and get out of that thing. And once you get out of that thing, you start walking with God, and everything He does is a blessing to you. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof. See, what's God doing? He's cleaning you up. He's taking all the detestable things, all the abominations, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. Now we're fixing to talk about sanctification. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh. What's a stony heart? Hard. We all were hard-hearted before we got into this walk of God. Come on, we all were. So God gives us a heart of flesh that's pliable, that God can mold and use. Because you know what? If you're on the real journey of God, He's the potter. You're the clay. He's the one doing the molding. He's the one doing the making. And you know what? He may have to start over again, but it's the same lump of clay. You know why He starts over? Because we decided to jump off the wheel. Have you ever watched somebody make pottery? Well, we live there. I mean, Gillsville's the pottery center of the United States of America. And you watch them do that. They throw this thing on there that just look, it's so muddy and filthy. And it's just a pile of mud laying there. But in the master's hand, he can make a beautiful design just with his fingers. He don't have to go get this and that and the other, and he don't have to get a tool. God give him the tools he needed right here. And he would start, and he mashes that thing in the middle, and then he reaches and gets it on the side, and he brings the walls of that pot up. And then he makes a lip. And that's all he has to do, makes a beautiful pot. But then you got to put it in the kiln. Then you got to put it in the fire, because that's what we're fixing to get to with Abram. Abram's got to go through the fire. We all have to go through the fire. But I will put them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. All right, so let's go and let's look at sanctification. We're going to start in Genesis 15, but I'll read these two scriptures first if you want to pull those up. Brother Joe, Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. You see how close we're getting with God now. You're not one with God in justification. You're starting. You're beginning. But you still, he can't. God will not dwell in an unclean vessel. And you're still unclean at that period of time. Everybody got that?
Yes.
All right. Now listen. He's getting ready to reach in that soul and take that Adamic nature or that ungodly, unclean nature. And he's fixing to change it. But he's got to go through a process. Everything's got to go through a process. Oh, I wish that God would have, in 1998, Sister Lois, I wish God would have just said, boom, you're born again. You're going to be preaching in 2020, and the roses start being thrown, and the party starts, and we have cake and ice cream. And yeah, yeah, right.
Right.
It's been a hard 20-something years. Yeah. But thank God for it.
Amen.
Because it's a journey. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Now, He was ashamed to call you brethren even in justification, because you still had that old Adamic nature, you still had that old root of evil, and you still were evil. You are just coming into a place to where God can use you, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. All right, so now, let's go to the next one, Ezekiel 36, verse 24 through 26. For I will take you from among the heathen. Oh, did he not? Did he not take us from among the heathen? Amen? He took a heathen and brought him out of the heathenism. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Oh boy. And you shall be clean, sanctification, clean and set aside for service. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What a promise. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Now that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'll read you a quote in a minute if you need one. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So let's go to Genesis 15, and let's see what happened to Abram. Now remember, he's still Abram. Now remember, still in your journey through justification, you're not a born-again believer at that time. Your soul is still dark and black. Has everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
During sanctification, when you come to your first part of sanctification, the unclean spirit is still there.
Right.
It has to be driven out by the washing of water of the Word, by your journey.
Right.
He has to continually have you washed by the water of the Word. You listen to the Word.
Amen.
I didn't want to hear no church sermons when I was in the world. I avoided them.
Yes.
Now you can't avoid them. Now you can't avoid them. Because you want to know more about God. You want to know more of these things.
Right.
After these things, now look. See that key word right there? That key phrase? We went through Genesis 12 through 14 in justification in the life of Abram. And the Bible says, after these things.
Right.
So in other words, you got to do them. But after you do them, this is what the next part of your journey is.
Right.
After these things, the word of the Lord. Now listen, there was no word of the Lord back then. Look, there was no word of the Lord.
Right.
In other words, Abram didn't walk over and pick up a Bible. There was no such thing.
Right.
He didn't even go and pick up the scrolls. They weren't written yet.
Right.
So the word of the Lord came spoken
right.
to Abram. And said, in a vision, look, it's come closer now in a vision. Fear not, Abram, whatever's fixing to happen, I'm on the scene and I'm going to take care of you. Because you're fixing to go. Because remember, sanctification, see, justification, you're still, you know, you're one guy and you still got that unclean spirit in you. But you, like I said, you got that little halo of light. You got a little something that's churning. It's not in here yet, but it's right here. And it's working. Satan hates it. He don't even like to feel that thing. Not that true. No, he can impersonate lights and anointings and all that stuff. But that one that's fixing to make you a born again believer, he hates it. Because it's Jesus Christ Himself,
amen.
In the form of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen? Everybody got that? Because I'm gonna read it to you in a minute. What happens to Abram in his journey? So here's Abram. He keeps walking. So, fear not, Abram. Something's fixing to be tore out of you.
Yes.
Sanctification is when God tears that unclean spirit out of you.
Right.
And it's violent. Didn't Jesus tell us? He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring violence.
Right.
Because the kingdom of God has to be taken by what? No. Michael goes. I think I'll just cut it out. That'll wake you up. It'll tickle. It shouldn't tickle. It should have hurt. Where's my real knife? But that's what happens because you know what? Satan's comfortable inside you.
Right.
That's where he's been for a while. He's comfortable. But when you get to where you start listening to the Word of God and you start doing the things of God, tell me what happens. It's a battle. And it's not. It's bloody. It's force. It's not that. No. The Lord comes and says, I've come to take over. That's mine, and I've come to take over. So what does he do? Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a promise. And Abram said, now, if you'll, boy, Brother Dale, if we go back to this, it'll take another sermon. Brother Dale preached a sermon about this, the wording of Lord and God and the capital and all that. We'll not get into that, but watch what. That's never been spoken from 12 till now. Everybody got that? Those of you that have been through all this before all the years, you know that that position now puts Lord God, it brings closeness. Even Scofield picks it up. If you got your Scofield Bible, here it says, hang on a minute. Yeah, I licked my finger. Sorry about that. I gotta wash my hands. Lord God, even Lord God, Lord is Adonai. And Lord God is Adonai Jehovah, which brings it, he's never called that before. So here is, what are you saying, Brother Wade? God's getting closer and closer and closer to having that full dominion over you. Lord, Jehovah Adonai, I am, in other words, I've come to take over. And Abram said, Lord God. Never said that before. He always said, Lord. And the Lord appeared, and God appeared, and all these different things. But if you want to get that sermon, maybe Joe can find it. It's been, oh, mercy, 10 or 15 years ago. Because that means something. The capital O-R-D, the capital A-L, the little O-R-D, R, the big G, little O, little D. It all means something. It's not just somebody made a mistake. There's a position in there. And the scholars, when they translated the Bible, they noticed that position that God was in. So you'll see sometimes capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, like you see in the book of Revelations. You see King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see capital K, but lowercase. But when you go over to Revelations 19, I believe it is, when he rides back into millennium with us, all capital letters. Why? It's in his fullness. Amen? You ought to listen to that, because Brother Dale, watch your hand. Be careful. He said, I'm shaking for myself. Don't shake your shoulder up there too much. But that's a position. In other words, that never happened in justification in his walk. It was either Lord or God, lowercase. There's a position now. Watch as God is coming and bringing more revelation, more vision.
Right.
Saying, fear not, Abram. In other words, you're fixing to go through something.
Right.
That nobody else has went through before. You're fixing to go through something that's going to look horrible, but I'm in it. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me seeing I go childless? Now, Abram is bringing the promise that God made back to him. He's saying, now God, I was 75, now I'm in my 80s. It's not looking real good. But what did God say? Fear not, Abram. Fear not, I got this thing handled. Seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Scroll it all the way up to the top so they can see. Now look, and behold, the word of the Lord. Now here we go. It wasn't written in the book. God had to tell Abram. Saying, this shall not be thine heir. He's talking about Eliezer. Now, God said, Abram, I told you what I was going to do.
Right.
So let me handle it.
Okay?
Let me handle it, because if you start handling it, you're going to mess up.
Right.
And he did. Because remember, God said he would have a promised son. He said all these things, but he never reveals the whole plan to us, because we can't stand it.
Right.
Yeah. It's like somebody was talking about in the youth Bible study, they was talking about the seals and the different things and explaining the third pull You know, let's get them born again first. You can explain. I've had the third pull explained to me since I was 14 years old. And I hardly know much more about it now than I did then. But you do know more, but that wasn't part of my salvation. That's not going to get you in the rapture. Now, you will be a recipient of it. But knowing it will not get you there at this point. This point in Abram's life, listen. Remember, Zach, that time when you were, it was a tender part in your life, in your journey. To me, it was a tender part because, man, you're getting this unclean spirit. You're getting it driven out of you. Something that's really comfortable, that you really enjoyed, and you really humanly don't want to get rid of it. Hello, somebody, be honest. But then you come to a place, like you said, you come to a place and said, get rid of this thing. You've tried to do it yourself. Your mama's tried to do it. Your sister's tried to do it. Yeah. Esther would love to try to beat it out of you. And she's going, yes. Not going to help. Right. See, that's Catholicism. Right. Yeah. Penance. Right. Right. Yeah. You don't have to do none of that. Amen. Just let go and let God. Yes. Let go of that demon because you're pulling on the demon on this side. Thank you, demon.
Yes.
And here. And God's pulling over on this side. I'm going to rip that thing. But here's the devil. I want this guy. But what's God saying? He's mine. Somebody's got to let go. Amen? So you finally decided who was going to let go. And it was you because you were the one that was holding both of them. They weren't holding you. You were pulling on them. Hello? Is that right? You were the one who had the struggle. God didn't have a struggle. He knew what you was going to do. The devil was struggling because he was fixing to lose you. But you just let go. And took God. And he said, don't worry, Abram. I still got you. Don't worry about it. I know I told you you're going to have a promised son. I told you you're going to have all these kids that you can't even count the sand on the ocean. What about that? You ever tried to count just that much of sand in the ocean? Can't count it. So God's saying, Lord, what? And you do that. In sanctification, you come to a place, you feel like a baby that just come out of a womb. You're like, it's cold. I've been in this warm place and everything's been all right. And I've been floating in water for 9 months. And now I got to breathe. And oh, good grief, I need to eat.
Yeah.
That's what happens. You've been put in a different environment. That's why environment is very, very important. Abram's environment was very, very important where he went. Where he went and what he come out of and when he went and come out of. Like I said before, he went down there and helped Lot and got Lot out of the situation he was in, but he didn't stay down there. He went back up to his property. Amen? Okay. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Now he brings Abram right back around, tells him the same promise he told him, because you know what? Sometimes we have to be told over and over and over again. Amen to that.
Amen.
Still now. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now what? Look. In Abram's humanity, he probably was still doubting. Because we always doubt. Our first deal is to doubt. Our first human thing is why, who, when, where, how. The Bible says he believed in the Lord. And the Lord counted to him for righteousness. Right there. He believed that God, whatever you're going to do, I can't do it. You're going to have to do it. And he said unto him, I am the Lord. And here's that I am. I am the Lord that brought thee out. He goes back and tells him, said, look, you remember that journey you just started in a few years ago? I'm still the same person.
Amen.
I'm still the same guy that's going to bring you out of all this. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And what's the land we're inheriting? Not physical land, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The promise is what you and I have claims to. Sure, we're going to come back and live on this earth. But if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be tough to get back to this piece of property. And he said, Lord God, here he is again. Lord God, I'm intimately talking with whoever this person is now. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer. Now watch. This is where it gets a little tricky. And watch what God makes Abram go through. And without a prophet, we would just read over this and wonder, what in the world? Why is he going through all this? But I'm going to read you some quotes afterwards, what Brother Brown said about this part of Abram's journey. But we're going to read it just like it is in the Bible. Now watch. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years. Brother Brown says, watch that three. 3 years old. And a she-goat of 3 years old. And you know what a she-goat was used for in the Bible? Remember, rams was made for sacrifice for Jesus, like was a type in Jesus Christ. You know what a she-goat is? A she-goat, according to Numbers 15:27, was an ignorance offering. If you ignorantly done something and didn't know the law and didn't know the law of the land, you could take a she-goat and kill a she-goat for an ignorance offering. And God would forgive you for your ignorance. Praise God! We're all pretty ignorant. Give me a she-goat. But what's he doing? Look, a heifer. A she-goat. So there's his ignorance offering. A ram, type in Christ, of 3 years old. And a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Now, you bring the turtle dove and the young pigeon in a little bit later. But do you know what that's an offering for? We'll get to it in a minute. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. Now, Abram, all these pieces of these animals are laying on this altar. Cut up in pieces. But the birds divided he not. That is an offering for healing. Signifying that it's not going to be torn apart. We'll let Brother Branham explain it later. He took unto him that. Now, what are you doing, brother? Look, this is Abram's journey. This is his sanctification journey. This is where God's going to clean him up.
That's right.
And put him into service. So he's got to go through all these sacrifices.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, honestly, it's a sacrifice to come to church. I know we want to come. I know there's something in my heart that wants to come to church, but it's a sacrifice.
Right. Yes.
Remember, Brother Branham told that guy, he said, you had a horrible fight between church in here, and they said, brother, what happened? He said, I got in the church. But he just didn't see that the demons and everything else, and he had all these problems. And like I was telling y'all last Sunday, the church where the guy kept seeing the husband and wife before they walked in the door, they would hold hands and they would pray, and they said, oh, that's so sweet and so wonderful. I said, brother, that's good that you pray to get in the right. He said, brother, we pray to get that spirit off of us because we've been arguing since we left the house. So at least they didn't bring it in here. How many of y'all do that? I think I'm going to stop and have a drink of water on that one. If you don't bring it in, here, it makes the service go a whole lot better. That's why singing drives unclean spirits out. David always played. And Saul's spirit was quieted because of the... That's why we have a song service, all right? So he took all these. Now watch. Now here's Abram's walk with God here in sanctification. And I'll let Brother Brown explain all this, but I'll come in as we go through. And then we'll stop here in just a minute. We'll do the Holy Ghost later on. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls... When them foul spirits, isn't that right there? When them foul spirits come, Abram drove them away because you know what? Them foul spirits are going to keep trying to come back. Remember, the unclean spirit goes out of the man and walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none, turns right around and wants to go back to the comfort of his house. But Abram had enough about him in his journey where Abram stood there and drove those foul spirits off of those carcasses, because those carcasses were sacrifices. All right? Everybody okay with that? We getting somewhere with this. This is a more intimate, even at this point, when you see Abram's journey, he had nothing to do with it. Now, God is going to bring Abram to a place to where he's going to need him to do these things, but then he's going to put him to sleep. Watch this. And when the sun was going down, Brother Brown said it was in the evening time. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. What's he telling Abram? Your people, the children of Israel, are going to go in bondage for 400 years. Everybody got that?
Amen.
All right. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with a great substance. That's Moses bringing the people out of Egypt. Remember, because what is redemption? Coming out and going in.
Right.
And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. What a promise. Some of us are reaching that pinnacle. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. Now remember, what did the angel tell Brother Branham when he was getting ready to go to Israel? He said, you can't go there because the iniquity of the Amorites is not full yet. He said, but it's getting pretty full. So that prophecy has come right down to today. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between a light, a burning lamp passed between these pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Now, he'd made one with him before. It was unconditional. All right, now watch. But he says, look, this is the land grant. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Now see, that capital is L-O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Maybe Brother Dale will preach that again, maybe. Maybe Brother Dale will preach that again. And those of us that have not been around for a while, okay, all right. He'll preach whatever y'all want him to. Right? That's what Brother Brown said. You pull on the preacher and you make him preach what you want, what you need. And the same day the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Now this is natural land. He's giving him this natural land. So you got to keep the natural story in there some. All right, the Canaanites, Kadamites, Hittites, Persites, Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, Jebusites, Websites. Because websites is the ones we got to get rid of. Them websites. All them ites. Okay. For those of you who have not heard that, you haven't been around a while. Now look. Let's explain now, if you want to stop that, Brother Joe, let's read what Brother Brown says about this, because I want him to explain it, and it won't be me explaining it, it'll be him. Brother Brown preached on the unconditional covenant, 1954. There you go, thank you. Watch close now. When he came down, the Holy Spirit, to talk to Abraham in the garden out there where he was laying on the hill, he put Abraham to sleep.
Exactly.
Now, Abram, it should be Abram, but we hear Brother Brown says Abraham. You haven't got one thing to do with it, all right? You lay here now, and Abraham went to sleep. You're out of the picture. And the next thing, now what's God go to do? He's confirming and giving an evidence. When you come to sanctification, God is obligated to give you an evidence of where you're at. Because the unclean spirit's gone out. You're standing there completely empty. God's got to come in and show you what he's doing. He did me. I don't know. You're going to have to realize he did it for you. He's given an evidence or a proof to Abraham how he's going to do it. How he's going to do it. Listen, if you want to be healed, how he's going to do that. This. Then Abraham, I'm shutting you out of the picture. I'm putting you to sleep. Then before Abram came a black thickness after, look, Every sinner deserves to go to hell. Because remember, you're still a sinner.
Right.
Until you're born again, you're still a sinner.
Yes.
Right. Right.
God does not reside in your soul until the new birth.
Yes.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
So you're not out of the woods yet. Abram was not out of the woods. He was still in trouble. He still needed a sacrifice. He still needed a light to appear. Every sinner deserves to go to hell, blackness. Then after that, a smoking, burning furnace. Every sinner deserving, in other words, hell. Abraham, that's what you deserve. But beyond that went a little white light. That little white light went right between those pieces of sacrifice, right back and forth. The white light moving, showing, making a confirmation. Showing to Abraham that he would do someday through his seed Isaac, bringing on Christ for the supreme sacrifice. Now, a hidden life in Christ, 1955. Let's read that one. You see people as nice people. Because remember, the unclean spirit's going out. Right? At sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out of sanctification. And then God brings you to a position. Watch what he does. You've seen people that was nice people, but you just couldn't hardly stand to be around them. There's something about them. They got a creative power around them that just seems to be different. How I'd like to stop here if I was possible and tell you some things on that. You're a little creator yourself.
Right.
He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now we'll go back to Ezekiel. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now that spirit isn't God's spirit.
Exactly.
Everybody got that?
Right.
That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. That's at the new birth. We'll cover that a little bit later. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit. Abram, he has to tell you the sacrifice has already been made. It's laying out here before you. And I'm going to pass that little white light that's been following you. I'm going to run it through these sacrifices. And I'm going to tell you that I'm the one that's going to do it. Not you.
That's right.
Because what happens to that light at the new birth that goes inside?
Right.
I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit.
Right.
Make your, now look, it doesn't say change your nature. It says make your nature a little more gentle.
Right.
And settle down. Okay. Or he couldn't even live with you.
Right.
So he has to get you fixed up first.
Yes.
Thank you, Kentucky English. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in.
Okay.
In other words, God's just not going to take and say, well, all right, you're justified. You're starting your journey. You still got the unclean spirit, but I'm fixing to right inside of you. No, you don't work that way.
Right.
You know what? You wouldn't know how to handle it.
That's right.
You wouldn't know how to handle it. I've always said the reason that God sent justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost is to see how to communicate with God and how God is going to deal with you. And Brother Branham came on the scene right after the Pentecostal church. If he would have came on the scene right after Luther, nobody would have accepted him. They'd have thought he's crazy. But coming in with the Pentecostals, God had moved out into the Pentecostal age, so there was Pentecostals everywhere. So Brother Branham just slid right in and fit right in with them. If he'd have went in a Lutheran church at first... No. So that's the same way with God. He's getting you ready to dwell inside of you. Because God's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right. You weren't entertaining God right, were you? Neither was I. Amen? But we come to a place to where now we entertain God the right way. Let's go to number four, the inner veil. Notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with him. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you, sweet little... Sweet, look how sweet.
And that devil.
Yeah, all the way. At least Val knows that was the truth. If you'll admit it, God can help you.
Amen.
Why? That's confession. That's why the confession is good for the soul. You had to confess. Because you know what? You were harboring all that illness and all that junk. That was inside of you and it was eating you up. But get it out. Confess your faults one to the other. Even you Christians. Confess your faults one to the other. If you don't like me, it's your fault. Just kidding. So he's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit. Amen? Oh, he amened himself. I will put a new spirit in them, and I will put my spirit in them. Now, that's not the sanctification. That's going on to put... When he says my, who's writing the Bible? God. And he's the my. I'm going to put my spirit in them. And he said, look, but he said after he's give you a new spirit. That's you. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit so you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you. Brother Brown said, if he ever gives it to you. But that's that unclean spirit. And we see, and we could keep on, but we'll stop right there. Because remember, Sarai gets involved. And although Sarai is the womb that the child's got to come through, naturally speaking, you got that? She was not a believer at first. And she talked to Abram and said, Abram, you and I have been, listen, this is devil logic. You and I have been living together for 40-something years and we haven't produced a child, but I've got this right here. I got this woman, Hagar, and it's lawful. It's legal under what they were living under. It's legal, but it wasn't legal to God. Because God is going to bring that promised son through Abraham and Sarah, not Hagar. So you see what happens even in sanctification. We still make mistakes. We still miss the direction of God. We still do things wrong. But we're one step a little bit closer to what? Amen. To getting that new spirit. So that God can work on that new spirit. Because Brother Ram tells us in sanctification, you become into a religious order where you become religious. You become thinking more religious. But be careful, as I've always stated, be careful in that position. Because Satan can say, oh, that's the new birth. You shouted. You read forward message books this week, hadn't you? So is the devil. He's probably read more than that. Oh, I've been in the message for 50 years. I've sat here. I listen to tapes every day. That don't mean one thing to God. Not one. Because that would be by works. That covenant was not by works. That covenant was by grace. Are you saved through what? Faith. The faith of Abraham that is now working in you and I. But if you stay in that sanctified condition, because remember, the unclean spirit goes out. God doesn't put his spirit in yet. So you're kind of sitting there empty in limbo. Because the Bible says that he goes and not only goes back into the vessel, he brings seven more of his demon buddies with him. And he enters into you and makes you religious now because Satan knows that there's something changed. You want to go to church? Okay, that's fine. You go to church, but you can think about all the other things you want to do. And you can say, well, this prophet's wrong and he's this and he's this and that. And you can just keep piling up. You can sit there all the time. It's happening all over the world. People sitting in message churches, but there's got to come a time that Abram had to make a decision to become Abraham. And his decision was, God, I'm going to just keep walking. I'm going to just keep going. I might, that's okay. Sarah, let's have a child over here with Hagar. That's okay, I'll do that naturally. But that had nothing to do with the promise of God. That was just a side note. Because the Bible says, talks about the bondwoman and the free woman. You and I were born under the bondwoman. We were bound. But when we were born again of the free woman, free means a lot different than bound. Because remember, you are bound until you're loosed. You're bound by Satan until God comes in and looses you of that. And then you become free. Oh, young people, even adults, listen. You think, oh, I've got freedom. You did. I got freedom. I got whatever I want to do, and I can do whatever I want to. Got my pornography, and I'm good. I'm fine. I'm all right. No, you ain't all right. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You got so many demons on you, you don't even know what to do. But Abram said, okay, that's all right if I got all that. You can name them all you want to, but and I might have a little side note over here, you know. Hagar, we got to do it. Okay, well, it was until God changed his name. Till he come to a place in his journey to where he looked at God and he said, God, I can't do this no more. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of somebody telling me that this demon is better than this one. That this person says, oh, you need to go, you know, if you want to fulfill the promise of God, you need to go to another church. Or you need.
Come on.
Let go and let God. Because that's what Abram did. Abram did, sure, he listened to Hagar, but what became of that union? It was not a promised son. It was Ishmael, the wild child. That God, you know what? God did give him a promise. It's not one you want, but he gave Ishmael a promise. He said, you'll be a wild child and everybody will be against you and you won't be against everybody. Now, he didn't give that to Isaac. Isaac was the promised son, not Ishmael.
That's right.
That's why you got that fight going on. Ishmael fought. He was a wild child. He fought everything and everybody. Let me see right here. He shall be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Now that don't sound like a Christian. And every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In other words, you're not going to be able to get rid of him. That demon that came out of you, he's not dead. He just moved over in another place.
Right.
Called your brother.
Right. Yeah.
Or your sister.
Yeah.
And that's where your persecution comes from.
Right.
I'm talking about that one.
Right.
But that's where, I mean, but you come to a place to where you just do like Abram and say, look, Lord, there lays all the sacrifices.
Yeah.
There lays everything, the turtle doves, I've done everything. You've told me to do this, and I've killed all these animals. I've laid them out here. And now, Lord, if you don't come on the scene, I'm good as a dead man. So he puts Abram to sleep, and he shows him that that's what he deserves. He deserves hell. Every one of us deserves hell. But now we're seeing the difference is if we do the right thing of God, then we don't have to go there. So when Abram wakes back up, what does God do? God brings that light. He brings that eternal light. And he runs it in between all them sacrifices, like Brother Brown was saying. He said, that showing God, Abram, I'm showing you that I'm going to send a promised son, and he's going to have to die on a cross. And he's going to be the ultimate sacrifice. And people are going to get born again because of that. Now, Abram, you're in another time. You're going to be a comparison of their journey, but you're not ever going to experience what they experience. I've put you asleep. You're in another dimension. You're in another, as we were talking about the other day, we now have an updated revelation.
Right.
Abram had a revelation, but he really didn't know who God was.
Right.
The person.
Right.
The person. The person of God never was inside of him.
Right.
The person of God now, though, is inside of each and every one of us.
Amen.
That Lord God that Abram talked to was standing on the earth one day, and they looked at him and said, you look 50 years old. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, they looked at him and probably went, 800 years now. You ain't 800 years old. No, what inside of him was standing there and said, Abram, get up and walk. And Abram communed with that same theophany that was standing in Jesus Christ. So you and I have a better situation, though. That same theophany is not just talking to us. It now, by the new birth, is residing inside of us. But it all begins being the faith seed of Abraham. That's where it all begins. Next time we preach, we'll start on Genesis chapter 17, which shows the new birth. Abram was 90 years old and nine. Sister Val, you're not that old. Because Abram started his real journey at 99. When God came to him and said, you're not going to be Abram anymore. You can't bring a promised child as Abram. Contentious Sarah sure can't bring it. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to make you a Christian. I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to make you Christ-like. And that spirit that I gave you, that's been hovering around you, and that's been helping keep the foul spirits off of those sacrifices, I'm now going to enter inside of you. And I'm not going to reside with you. I'm going to reside in you. And I'm going to help you through this journey. And you know what? The devil can beat your spirit up and the devil can beat your flesh up, but the devil can never beat the soul up. Your soul is as protected as the Almighty is protected. It cannot lose. It cannot diminish. It has to grow. It has to be, Brother Brown said, a creator. If you got the creator inside of you, folks. And my last point, Abram had a name change. And then God said, finally, he said, now, Abraham, you're going to take Sarah, your wife. You see, all the pieces are fitting together now. And you're going to, at about 28 days from now, something's going to happen to you. It's never happened before. I'm going to change you so that you can have that promised kid. I'm going to change you. And I'm not just going to change you. I'm going to change your wife. So when Melchizedek left, somewhere about 28 days later, about the time of life, you ladies and all, we understand. Abraham woke up one day. Wow. I'm in the wrong place. And then he looks at his hands. I look at my hands, and my hands were new. I looked at my feet, and they were two. Won't it be a time? Huh? If Brother Jewel was here, he could sing it for you. But I'm not going to try it. But that's what it was. And Abraham looked at Sarah and said, you know, you can think all you want to. He looked at Sarah and said, honey, God will never lie to you. He's never lied to me in my journey. He told me this is the spot that I'm going to be standing in when we have this promised child. He said, I was saying, oh, I'm 90 years old and we've been having relations for, you know, laundry list. Then finally God walks up and Melchizedek, he meets God in human flesh, and Melchizedek says, you and Sarah are going to have this baby. You and Sarah. And you know what Abram said? That now is Abraham. You know what he said? He said the same thing Mary said. He said, be it unto me according to thy word. And when you receive the new birth, guess that's what you have to do. There's nothing. You can't cry, scream, shout. All that beforehand. You can't do any of that. You really don't know how. But when you just drop back, and like Brother Zach said, I got tired of being tired. And I come to a place that I can't do it. God, you're going to have to do it for me. I'm 99 years old, Abram. I've now been changed to Abraham. God's given me a revelation now. And he really gave me a revelation when I woke up with my new bride. Now I know how to get this done. That's the same way you've done. When you receive the new birth, when you truly become born again in this end time, Remember what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, she will know what to do with the word. The bride of Jesus Christ in this end time is going to produce the promised son, and she will know what to do with the word when it comes. Sarah knew. Abraham knew. Sarah didn't look at Hagar no more and say, well, let's use this one. And Abraham didn't make 100,000 excuses. They come to a place to where they knew they were going to produce what this Bible had said they were going to produce.
Amen.
That's what you and I got to come to.
All right.
That place to where it's not my brother, not my neighbor, not my sister, natural. But it's you and I.
Right.
It's laid on us.
Amen.
And God's waiting on us. Have you ever heard that sermon before? God's waiting on us.
Right.
To what? Let go.
Yes.
And let God do it.
Right.
But you got to do what God tells you to do. Brother Zach says, Brother Zach says, I'm a changed man, I'm a changed man, I'm a changed man, I'm a changed man, I'm going to testify. I'm a changed man. I get up here 3 months later and I go, where's that black? Oh, he decided to stay out of church today. I think he went somewhere with his friends. Uh-oh. Everybody in the building knows what happened except Zach. Because the devil's got him stuck in sanctification. And he thinks he's okay. He can slip out. You can't slip back out in the world, folks.
Right.
Not being born again, you cannot slip out back into the world. We make mistakes upon mistakes upon mistakes, but you will not.
Amen.
You will not go backwards in God.
Amen.
Amen.
Because that spirit now that brought you to church and everything's fine and everybody looks up to Zach Black because he's changed. He's a changed guy. He's a good looking kid too. He's changed guy. But they keep watching you to make sure that change. Because remember, our change is eternal. It's an eternal change. It's not a change that goes up. And sure, we have our up and down. I'm talking about in humanity. But Zach's not going to come up 3 months from now and say, well, I don't have to go to church no more. I just go back with my buddies. And if I have a beer or two, I go back. No. If the desire's gone, I don't say if because of you. I say if the desire's gone, you don't have to worry about that no more. We don't have to worry about looking for our children anymore if we can get them born again. You don't know where they are. Let's stand to our feet. You don't know where they are. Why? Because they've received the same spirit you got. Birds of a feather. Eagles of a feather. Flock together. That's why Zach's the first one on the stage. Look at that. Gunny's on the front row. Where the fire falls. Bella. The journey of Abraham. Now, the next part we got to come to is really hard because you know what happened to Abraham? Abraham, at 99 years old, he had to take a knife, which probably wasn't very surgically sharp at that moment, and he had to circumcise himself. And what does circumcision do? It cuts off the old excess skin. It cuts off the old excess flesh. And that's a type of the new birth. You can't reverse the process. There's no reverse process in circumcision. One and done. Right? That's why it's a type of the new birth. You can't go back. Who wants to put flesh back on? Take it off. But you love the Lord?
Amen.
You got to love the journey of Abraham. Every time I speak on this, I think of Jimmy Gibson. Brother Jimmy Gibson passed away a good many years ago, but I'm telling you, I think he was Abraham's brother, blood brother, because he preached on Abraham, buddy. He'd take that from the Ur of Chaldees, and he'll take him all the way into the promised land. And, I mean, he did a really good job. But Brother Jimmy, God bless him, he's watching over the balcony maybe today and going, yeah, preach up, brother. You know why? Because he had a new birth. So we know where he's at. Even when people pass away, we know where they're at.
Yes.
There's no wondering. There's no worrying. We know where they're at. Thank God for a prophet. Let's sing a song.
To the water, I've been baptized, I've been washed. I once was and redeemed is now my name. Oh, I've been changed, I've been reborn. It make when the Lord has his way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were as scarlet, they're as white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free.
Amen. You were lost, but now you know where you're going.
But now I see.
I brag on Brother Zach Black. You know why? He got born again.
Right.
He's been going to this church since he was a baby.
Amen.
You were born here. You were a teeny tiny kid when he came to church here. But you see the journey. He was born here. You're old. Your mom and daddy are too. But you see a journey of a child, and you watch. And you see the ins and outs. You see Abram. And then you see, well, maybe he didn't quite go far enough. But you know what? That light's still circling. That light's still circling. It's still following you. All of you. And you know what? You get born again, I'm going to brag on you. Amen? Because it's bragging time.
Yes.
It's time to brag.
Yes.
That God can still save a soul. He can still give the new birth to anybody. Doesn't matter. Throw the I can'ts away. Oh, I can't because... Because what? Because what? Tell me what? Give me something. That's why I love the kids asking these questions. There's questions that they're asking. And like I said this morning... Don't fear. God's here to answer those questions. God's come back to get you. He's come back to get us, because you know what? We're not going without you guys. We're a family.
Yes.
Not going without my kids. Brother Johnny's not going without yours.
Right.
Amen? He said, oh, I don't know. Brother Branham said, Abraham believed in God so much till he went ahead and bought the booties and the bird eyes, which is the pins, and the different things, and he was heading toward 99 years old. You know what he did? Abraham's faith produced that child. But Abraham's faith, when he even was Abram, he believed what God said, and he just so much as had the baby in his hand. Why would you buy all the things for it if you didn't know you were going to have it? And God revealed to you that there it is. So that's the way I look at my children. I don't worry about the journey. There's a journey for everyone.
Yes.
Don't worry about the journey. Just see them sitting on the front row.
Right. Amen.
Don't get off the front row. If you see them on the front row,
there's the manifestation of the believing that started your whole journey.
Yeah. Praise God.
I like to see what God's done. I love to believe. I believe to see, but I like to see it. I like to see the manifestation that Brother Dale's been preaching for 50 years, trying to get us to see something. And now, finally, maybe we're able to see it. But God is doing something. He's bringing children in. He's bringing children in. He's bringing us all to a place. Folks, don't get left behind. You can't put a price on anything in that world. Nothing. Eternal life is without money and without price. Brother Brown preached that sermon, without money and without price. Listen, Bill Gates is going to stand up one day in the judgment day if he's not born again, if he doesn't give his heart to God. And Bill Gates is going to say, I'll give my $68 billion to you, Lord. And the Lord's going to like, no, we're going to use that for pavement. If you had done what I said, you would have been walking on that, and it would have been worth a lot more than you think you compiled while you were here on the earth.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So let's pile this up.
Yes.
Yes. Let that light. If you're not born again today, let God knock on your heart. And let that light that's been following you all your life, let it disappear. But let it disappear inside of you. Don't let it disappear out the door. Let it disappear right here. Right here. One soul, the prophet of God said, was worth how many?
10,000
worlds. 10,000 worlds.
Right.
One soul. Thank God we've started a new world order. They want to start one? They want to start one? No, we're starting a new world order right now. There's the first world right there.
Amen.
And there's 10,000 of them. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn. Who's preaching Wednesday? You.
It's been rearranged. Oh, what a difference.
Remember Wednesday night? Brother Dale will be preaching, so we'll be back in the harness. Pray for him. God bless you on your way home. Have a good week. Wash your hands.
I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. I have been